It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford. I'm going to be your host this morning. Today we're going to talk about the federal government's ongoing effort to become more mobile through telework and work flexibility. And to help us talk about this, I would like to welcome John Vivadelli, founder and CEO of AgileQuest. John, welcome to Fed Talk. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Bill.
And I also like to welcome Rose Stanley, who is a telework, mobility, and flexibility specialist at World at Work. Rose, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thanks, Bill.
And we will also be joined shortly by Naomi Stanford, who's a specialist in organizational change and who did some extensive work at GSA and helping to develop some of the federal government's actual telework implementation. And just a reminder before we get started that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. For more information on GEICO, go to geico.com. And I know from what I hear from in and around the federal government that telework, telecommuting, and we're going to talk a little bit about the differences between those two terms, is a very popular subject. It's something that many employees want. Some employees want it and don't get it. And that there is some also controversy about whether it's really being implemented as well as it should be, could be, and managed as well as it should be, could be. So with some of these issues pending, if you'd like to join our discussion, you're welcome to call in. Our toll-free number is 1-877-936-9333. Or if you have a telework observation that you'd like to send us an email about, you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So, John, let me get started with you. AgileQuest, tell me what AgileQuest is. You're the CEO and founder.
AgileQuest is a software and services company, and we've been in business for almost 19 years now. And what we provide to our customers is what we call smart occupancy, which is a balance between the productivity, freedom, and flexibility of the employee. Some people throw telework in there. And the efficient use of real estate and the real estate infrastructure. And so the way we got into business, the reason we're in business, is that in the United States today, the average actual use of office space is somewhere between 30 and 50%. And that applies to the federal government as well.
Do you mean the only 30 to 50% of a building is actually occupied at any time?
Is actually occupied at any time.
Where are those people?
They
would fill the other space.
Right. They're working somewhere else. They are on vacation. They are sick. They are taking a training class. They're at a conference. They're doing their work. They're at a client location. They're on a project. They're building a bridge. They're somewhere else than the than their, quote-unquote, assigned desk. So we take advantage of that vacancy and leverage that vacancy to help an organization figure out how to reduce the cost of real estate and to help them to be better at this thing called teleworker mobility.
So, and Rose Stanley, could you tell me a little bit about your organization, World at Work?
Sure. Thanks, Bill. World at Work is a nonprofit human resources association, and we focus on compensation, benefits, and work-life effectiveness, total reward strategies to attract, retain, and engage employees. We have about 30,000 members around the world.
And you specifically focus on telework?
My particular role is to work on work-life programming in terms of getting resources out to our members and our customers. So telework is certainly a huge aspect of that.
And you, I assume, World at Work is involved in some aspects of what the federal government is doing with telework.
Well, we certainly do have some federal human resources employees that have gone through our certification and become certified work-life professionals. But yes, we do provide training and resources, and we do actually also hand out some awards every year, and there are usually some federal government agencies that get those awards.
I know we're going to talk about that in a little while, and it's great to have an organization like yours that's monitoring this. And it's, John and I were talking before the show. He was explaining that there are different aspects of different communities that need to come together to really make a telework program succeed. Would it be fair to say, Rose, that that World at Work comes at this from the human resources perspective?
Yes.
And John, your perspective is what?
Basically IT and real estate.
And those are the three components.
And those are, yes.
And one of the reasons an employer, including the federal government, as an employer would want an effective telework program is because it helps them reduce their real estate footprint. John, talk a little bit about that. Since that's your area, what's the effect of reducing your real estate footprint?
Well, it's interesting that if you look at what the cost of a workspace is on average, GSA numbers are somewhere in between $10,000 and $15,000 per desk per year. That's what it costs to provide a desk to a federal worker. So if you
and just the desk and the area around it,
it's the desk. So it would be rent, it would be furniture, it would be the cabling in it. It's the hard infrastructure plus the operations and maintenance that's required to operate a desk. So if you take that number and I'll just apply it to some work that we're doing with GSA. GSA headquarters 1800F, they're going to house 4,500 employees, round figures. These are all round figures, and they change a little bit, in about 2,000 desks. So that's 2,500 workspaces that are avoided by taking advantage of the fact that people are not always in the office, and you take advantage of that mobility. So 2,500 offices times just nominally $10,000 per. And you've got $25 million a year in real estate cost savings in one facility in the federal government.
And just in one building, actually.
In one building. And that's an annual number.
So I have seen, I've been in the GSA building that's being renovated before it was renovated. And I've seen the temporary headquarters, which is supposed to be modeled, what I was told that it was modeled, the temporary headquarters modeled after what the new building is going to look like. And it seems like everyone, rather than having an office, no matter what your grade level is, you're going to have more of an open workstation. Is that's what was explained to me? Is that accurate from your perspective, and that people will use conference rooms and things like that for meetings and rather than offices?
I think, you know, the office layout isn't as important, I don't think. Well, What organizations try to do is provide some level of choice within the workplace. So you're going to need some places where people have heads down, that they can do some heads down work, some private work. You're going to have places that are open. So most designers will design an interior that has different places for people to come to work, depending on the task that they're going to use.
Okay, Rose, tell me a little bit about your perspective from the human resources issue. Why is telework important for an employer, particularly the federal government?
Well, actually, when I go out and talk about it, I talk about four different things that organizations really need to kind of consider when they look at teleworking. And one of them, the Northeast is coming up with right now, and that is business continuity issues. you know, and I know the federal government certainly had some issues this past year and several years ago as well. You know, you can have a lot of different reasons that your organization has to shut down to a certain extent, but you want the business to continue. So, and there's some trickle-down effect of how that affects that actual business, and then vendors and other organizations that deal with your particular organization when you cannot function. So business continuity is a big one. Of course, we talk about attraction and retention, and we have some data that we can talk about in terms of how significant that really is to a business in order to attract new candidates into your organization and to retain those, especially the key talent that you really need in order to keep your business going. We also talk about the real estate, and that certainly is a huge aspect. We have also given an award to another organization several years ago that just on some of those savings alone that was just being talked about. And then the sustainability. I do know for Houston is an example of a city that reached out to other organizations within the community in order to cut down on the pollution during the rush hour. And they termed their program called Flex in the City, which personally I think is kind of cute. But they were able to, through really working with organizations within the community, to cut down on people that were driving through rush hour times of the day through various aspects of flexible programs. So we really try to get the organizations to understand that there are multiple reasons that it's good for the business, as well as it's also being looked at as very good for the employee as well.
Okay, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that and the other efforts by the federal government to be successful in having a telework program that is effective. We're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, your host. We're talking about the federal government's ongoing efforts to continue to improve its telework program. And we've been talking with John Vivaldelli and Rose Stanley. And I'd like to welcome Naomi Stanford. Naomi, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thank you very much. That's nice to be on the show.
It's good to have you on. And I know you've done a little bit of work with GSA in the past. And you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in the telework arena.
Okay, thanks. Yes, I work largely in helping people manage change in their working circumstances. So in this particular instance, it was a project to encourage people to pick up mobile working and teleworking in a way that made the organization much more flexible in thinking about its ability to deploy space. Now, people, and I think John's mentioned some of the questions that people have around mobile working. It is a big change in working practices for people, and how both organizations manage that change, how managers manage a mobile workforce, and how the individuals themselves can actually become more productive and effective through mobile working is the project that I was working on and the sort of arena I generally work in change management and organization design and development.
Well, I think Naomi, you raise a really good point about change, because there is no question that telework is much more prevalent in the federal government today than it was just a couple of years ago. So that is a big change. What have you seen in that change taking place? What have you seen as some of the challenges that agencies need to deal with in having that change take place effectively?
Oh, there are several challenges. One is the actual structure of the employment contract. So what are employees expecting from the government as an employer? And when you're changing conditions of service, which in some circumstances mobile working is, you're actually changing the sort of employee value proposition. And not thinking that through carefully, not applying the changes more or less as an individual manager talking to an individual employee about their circumstances is one of the challenges, because if you try to apply a broad brush across the board, you don't pick up individuals who for one reason or another can't be mobile, and that can cause a lot of anxiety. Perhaps a sort of more structural reason is there are differences in policies around how mobile workers can get the right equipment, can get the equipment maintained, the ergonomic factors, the actual sort of policies and procedures surrounding mobile working, which can be challenging and vary from agency to agency. And a third challenge which organizations need to think about is how managers manage a combination of in-office workers and mobile workers. What makes that team gel effectively from a management point of view and be productive and motivated?
So, Rose, I know when we left for our break, you were in the middle of going through 4 points, and I'm not sure you finished all of those 4 points that you'd like to tell people about telework.
Well, I think I did kind of cover them. The attraction and retention is kind of the number one thing that, from a human resources standpoint, that we take a look at and what's important to an organization. Lowering real estate costs that John had mentioned and talked about, as well as business continuity issues and why you should have some form of telework policy and actually up and running when something happens within your environment that has to close down your organization for a period of time. And then the sustainability, which is having that green effect and finding ways to cut down on emissions in the air and things like that. So those are the four things that we basically talk about as far as some of the advantages to the employer. And as Naomi mentioned, certainly from the employee standpoint, that value proposition of what's in it for them and how it helps them do their jobs, do them well, and also be able to balance that life aspect that, of course, we all have to deal with.
So one of the things I've heard, and of course from my own experiences having worked in an office my entire career, is that particularly younger employees that come in and they start out right away in a telework environment and they don't spend very much time in the office really never develop a skill. It's almost like a skill to be an office worker, to get along with your coworkers, to interact in a face-to-face way with your supervisors and with some of the office support staff and mechanisms. And since you're always available, you know, electronically and not in the office, how do you develop those skills? Or is that something that maybe is really not an issue that we should be concerned about? Or is that important to, and are there alternatives to help develop that skill? So, John, did you want to talk about that? No. Rose, that sounds like this might be something good for you to, from the HR perspective.
Well, I think that there are definite differences in the way that the younger generation looks at working more virtually than a baby boomer such as myself. We all would like it, but they come into an interview actually asking for it, whereas I would go into an interview and may not be one of my very first questions. But it's just something that they expect. They are very mobile and work and live virtually in so many aspects of their lives. But there is definitely something to be said for what you mentioned in terms of acclimating to the culture of the organization that you work in. And what I know many organizations do is that there is an eligibility period usually that one has to usually work within an office for a certain length of time, unless they're hiring someone that maybe geographically there's no way that they could actually work in the office, but it's a talent that they really want. So they find other ways to acclimate them. They bring them in more often to the office. But certainly you do want them to absorb that culture because they're representing that organization. So there may be a time frame that they have to be within that office before they can actually start working more mobily.
So as we use the word telework a lot, and I think maybe it might be a good time for us to define what that means.
Yeah,
would somebody like to take a stab at that?
Yeah, I would like to take a stab at that. There was a gentleman by the name of Jack Nillis back in the early 80s that defined the term telework and telecommuting. And the terms tend to get used in place of each other, but they're actually two different terms. So telework has now been, the definition tends to be work from anywhere. So the Greek
anywhere except the office.
Yeah, everywhere, anywhere except the quote-unquote traditional or normal place. So tele meaning distance. So it's work at a distance from something, and that's something tended to be the assigned workplace. Telecommuting, on the other hand, is a subset of telework, and that is work from home. So you are replacing a commute, meaning home to work. You're replacing that with technology so that you can do your work from home. And there's a big difference between those two. So there are, you know, you'll read articles that say, well, telework, when they mean telecommuting, you know, hasn't taken off as much as it could have or it should have, and what are the reasons for that? I think really what it comes down to, though, is that the mobility of people is unquestioningly taken off. And you can see it in the occupancy of buildings. You can see it every day in airports. You can see it everywhere you go. If you're a manager out there in the federal government, I would like you to walk through your office space at sometime like 10 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Walk through it, and I will guarantee you that you will never see more than 50% of your desks. If you counted 20 desks, 50% of them have a person in them. There is a lot of mobility, and people have chosen mobility because they can. The technology now is at the point where people can be mobile, and so they're getting their work done in the most productive way for them to do that, and that's tends to be, at this point, not in an assigned desk, but somewhere else.
Naomi or Rose, would you like to add to that?
Yes, I would. This is Naomi. I think that John's completely correct, that people, the traditional view was that if you're sitting at your desk, you were working. And now the perception is if you're sitting at your desk, you may or may not be working, but there are plenty of other places to work. And the technology is a really freeing device. It may be that you actually do have a desk, but you prefer to work in the staff cafeteria or talking to a colleague in another part of the building because you can carry your laptop and what have you with you. It does allow for a totally different way of collaborating within a workforce that can lead to a lot of innovation and a lot of sort of breaking down of the traditional barriers of the way people work.
I think when most federal employees hear telework, they actually think of telecommuting. They think of that, you know, eliminating their commute, being able to work in their pajamas and have flexibility during the workday to hopefully get their work done more efficiently and productively.
And I think that is where telework got a bad rap. And the idea that people, if you're not in the office, you're not working, there's an interesting term. A gentleman by the name of Tony Mockery at GSA introduced me to this term. There's absenteeism, and then there's presenteeism. Basically, presenteeism, you're in the office and you're not doing any work, just like if you were absent. So
the manager can see the employee at work. They know they're there, and therefore they assume that it's okay.
Yes, and we talked about this before where it is when you're sitting there, you might be doing work and you might not be doing work. and a person that's walking by, managing by walking around, a very old term and a dated term, but that doesn't really work anymore because people are mobile. They're not there to be walked around. There are other places for them to do their work.
Naomi, you mentioned a employment contract when you were talking a little bit about what you do with in and around telework. What did you mean by that?
Well, a traditional employment contract will say there are hours of work, and you can, in the government, the agency as I was working in, there is accelerated work schedules, and there are various ways of making it more flexible. But the current employment contracts don't allow for the mobility that is possible by virtue of new technologies. And so without looking at the sort of notions around accelerated work schedules or core hours and that sort of thing, it will be difficult to achieve the full potential of mobility. And I just want to pick up on a point that John made. There's sort of internal mobility, and a lot of agencies are, in fact, looking at reducing office space and helping employees hot desk and shared desk and what have you. So there's a notion around internal mobility around the building, and then the external mobility and telecommuting that John mentioned. So there are various sort of shades of mobility, all of which require a different way of thinking about the way you employ and contract staff in relation to the conditions of service, essentially.
Hey, we're talking about the federal government's progress in implementing its telework program. This is Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For two decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw, Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, your host this morning, and I'm joined by Rose Stanley from World of Work, John Vivadelli from AgileQuest, and Naomi Stanford from MBBJ. Our three guests are experts on the federal government's implementation of telework, and they have a lot of good perspectives to offer. If you would like to be a part of our discussion, you can give us a call toll-free at 1-877-936-9333. Or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So one of the big words we've been hearing over the last, five, six, 7 years is metrics. How do you measure things? And a component of metrics is return on investment. How do we know, John, we can start with you and everyone else can pipe in. How do we know if telework is really being successful for an agency?
So let's getting back to the definition on there's one side of the coin called telework, and then there's the other side of the same coin, which is office space management. And it's putting those two together is really where you get the value. It's, again, freedom and flexibility of the employee, giving the employee choice about where to go to work, matching the kind of space that they need for the task that they have, and managing that infrastructure so that you don't have a bunch of real estate just in case. You put real estate and make it available just in time. So at the break, you made a comment. How the heck does GSA have 4,500 employees and only 2,000 desks? How does that work, John? Well, those desks are provided just in time. If you need a desk, you make a reservation for a desk, you go sit there for the time that you need it to be to support you. And then when you're not there, that desk becomes released and available for somebody else to use. So you're providing real estate in a just-in-time, on-demand.
And all of that is managed probably by a computer, by you, John, you say.
Yes, sir.
And then what do you, but you know, like my office has papers all over it. I know where they are.
Yeah, so Naomi had this comment that there's some change associated with this. And what happens is the IT infrastructure needs to be there so that your documents reside more on the network than in your bag or in your filing cabinet. And so the way that I've changed my work patterns over the years is if somebody hands me a paper or a brochure or something, I said, send it to me electronically. I don't want a piece of paper because paper is like a lead weight. It prevents you from being mobile. It prevents you from being, if you think about it, one of the other comments earlier was business continuity. It prevents business continuity because a classic example is, hey, I have all these papers on my desk, and I couldn't possibly get my work done if I was mobile. I have to have my own desk because all these papers are here. And then the answer to that is, so you're telling me if you can't get to your desk because of snowmageddon or a fire or pestilence or locusts, you can't get to your desk. You're telling me you can't service your customer? I don't think so. So the idea of paper is needs to be addressed. Document management needs to be addressed as part of the whole process.
So Naomi, how do you implement that change? That's a big change in the way people think, the way they operate on a day-to-day basis versus what John is suggesting for 2013, and certainly the way it was just done 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely, you're correct. And it is a big change for people. And the first thing is that they have to be able to sort of trust the system, that they would be able to scan in their documents and then retrieve them as and when they need them. Because a lot of the things people feel about paper is that they feel they know where the paper is and that they can retrieve it. So that there is a sense of building trust that the system is actually going to work. So if they do scan in documents, if they do ask for electronic versions, that they can file them, that other people can see them if they're working on documents simultaneously, and that there's a collective kind of etiquette around keywords, retrieval systems, consistency of management of the electronic document. And that sort of training in both the etiquettes of it and the trust building that the system is reliable is one of the first stages in building confidence in a paperless system. And then there's, some of the actual attributes like electronic signatures and some of the confidentiality and security aspects. Again, the trust building and the enabling people to feel confident that their documents will be secure, that they can sign them online. Those sorts of training combined with actual training in the mechanics of it and then training and confidence building in the reliability of the system.
And Rose, you want to talk a little bit about the fact World at Work has been monitoring this, and you've actually recognized some federal agencies for excellence in their telework program. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I think going back to what you were saying is how do we get this to happen? You have all of these papers on your desk. Well, change does not happen overnight. And with the Telework Enhancement Act that went out in 2010, organizations and agencies are really, really coming together to put these changes into place, but it takes a little bit of time. But even before 2010, there are agencies that have been successful in recognizing the value of teleworking or telecommuting. And in, as a matter of fact, in 2007, we gave out an award to the United States Patent and Trademark Office because they recognized that if they could start hiring outside of the Beltway, they would be able to process those patents a lot quicker. And so it opened up their talent pool to them. Just recently, and they will be receiving their award at the WorkLife Forum that's happening in Baltimore at the end of February, is the USDA. And
Department of Agriculture.
Yes. So what they've done is they made a very concentrated effort of putting together what they call their Let's Talk Telework, and the name of their program is the it's coming right off of the top of my head, is the Turbo Change Telework Program. And they have three different aspects to it, but the first one is really important, and it helps create that change. And again, it doesn't happen overnight, but one of the big things that they did is that they put together these free monthly webinars, and they're put on throughout their entire agency. I believe that they have about 100,000 employees in all. And these webinars have focused on delivering best practices, supervisor tips and tools, how to go about putting it into place in your organization, and opening it up to a virtual telework town hall so that everyone can come in and get their questions answered. And what we have really found is the more that you can expose the benefits on both sides, for the organization and the agency and for the employees, the more that you start getting acceptance within your organization. So the more training that can go on, that's what's really going to help move it along. And they have done just a remarkable job in that. And they've been able to increase their the amount of employees that are actually teleworking in their agency considerably. Another thing is that they really did that helped push it along was last year they really made a huge push into asking for participation during National Telework Week, which happens in March.
When is National Telework Week?
Well, I believe that this year it is the first week in March. I think it's March 4th.
Okay.
So,
I'll have to remember that.
Yes, they really promoted it, and they really encouraged people, because you take a pledge during that week, and you say that, yes, you're going to try it for a day or for a week, and that really kind of exposes both the employee and the supervisor into how well it can work, and it's a little mini pilot program, which is what we encourage all the time, especially when you're trying to win over managers. Managers, even good managers, have to learn a new way of managing their employees. I know that John had mentioned about the presenteeism, and that's very true. A lot of times I go out and talk about the telework programs, and I tell about a little cartoon where a manager comes up to an employee in an office and is standing over him and says, well, why aren't you working? And the employee's response is, well, I didn't see you coming. So, you know, you really have to kind of think, okay, they may be in the office, but they may not actually be doing their job. So the manager has to start learning just a new way of managing. And what the USDA is doing is giving them tips and tools in order for them to be more effective with their employees.
It seems like managers have to find a way to communicate expectations to employees about what needs to be produced. And then managers have to have techniques and methods of making sure that production occurs, whether the employee is in the office or working from a remote location.
Well, I would absolutely agree with that, because really, work is what you do. It's not where you are. So what a manager is already doing, because they're not standing over someone at a desk 8 hours a day, they have an expectation already. So when you start to put into a telework or a telecommuting program, What you do is you sit down with that employee and you have a negotiation and you have a discussion as to what is going to be done when you're not working here in the office and what is the expectation of what I'm going to see when we meet again. So what are some performance goals, or let's manage by results so that we know that what you're doing is what we both need to accomplish at our jobs. And, you know, then you find ways, depending upon how many times a week you may be teleworking, you find ways to open up that communication a little bit more. And like John said, you have to have your IT involved. You know, you have instant messaging. You have a way to know that someone is online so that you can talk to them right away. You find ways to transfer your phones or to have a way to transfer it to your mobile phone or transfer it to your home phone. They give you tips and techniques on how to be professional, even though you may be sitting there in your pajamas during the day, so that you become more productive. And there are many studies out there that really do show that productivity does increase when you have that time. It's usually a more quiet time, more concentrated on the job that you're doing, and you actually are more productive in the end.
We're talking telework on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is Fed Talk. We'll be right back.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, and I'm here in the studio with John Vivaldi. Naomi Stanford and Rose Stanley are also on the show. We're talking about telework and some of the progress that's being made. Naomi, I would like to have you follow up a little bit on what John was talking earlier on how you measure telework. How do you know, from your perspective, how does an employer know, and particularly a federal agency, how do they know when telework has been successful? How do they know there's a return on investment?
This is a nutty question, and there is a GSA brochure called Measuring Knowledge Worker Productivity that I wrote.
Oh, did you? Well, you're the perfect person to answer it. Okay, great.
It's available on the GSA website. Measuring knowledge worker productivity is a challenge for any organization. But paradoxically, just to approach this in a sort of slightly different way, what we found is that managers who are conscious about managing their staff, so using the various techniques that Rose talked about, the instant messaging, the regular contacts through email, the telephone calls and what have you, they are actually managing more attentively in some cases than managers who see their people in the office. So they get a really good feel for and develop, in some cases, a much better relationship with their employees. So they get a really good feel for what the work is that the employee is doing and producing. There's a lot of talk about whether you're measuring output or outcome. And there was an experiment going on with OPM on measuring outcome results only work environment.
Right, which did not succeed, I don't think. From what I understand, it was abandoned.
It's been abandoned, yes, because it met several obstacles, and you can see the abandonment of it it sort of shows the hallmarks of the difficulty of measuring that return on investment in a way that we're traditionally used to measuring productivity. And I think some of the issues are around having confidence that the employee is doing what you've mutually agreed. And again, Rose mentioned that negotiation. What is the manager expecting from the employee in terms of both output and outcome in the work, and in through what time period, what are the reporting in arrangements? And it's having this negotiated conversation about the work that's being done, which it actually doesn't happen that as frequently with on-site workers as it seems to be happening with off-site workers. So a sort of suggestion would be that closer management is easier with off-site workers in various ways, and therefore you get a better idea that work is being produced. But at the end of the day, measuring knowledge worker productivity is a challenge for any agency, whether they're on-site or off-site.
It does seem like that's kind of maybe the rub a little bit, and why there is management resistance and why agencies are working so hard to overcome that. John, did you want to add to the point by Naomi?
Yes, I'd like to take the metrics conversation and talk about it in a more broader sense. So yes, there's the productivity of the individual. And in some cases, like at USPTO, that's very easy because there's a certain number of files that a lawyer has to get through cases. And they've proven that if you work remotely, you can get done at least as much work than remotely as you do in the office. So that's a great output metric.
And the USPTO example is always cited.
It's always cited.
But it's unique.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really, most of the federal government can't work that way.
So to broaden the conversation, what we always talk about when anybody first starts to think about this thing called telework, we ask them to think more broadly about it, that it is not just about the people and their flexibility and their productivity. It is also about the workplace and the efficiency of the workplace. And so there are metrics, if you look at it more broadly and in a kind of a balanced scorecard kind of way, especially if you're on the finance side of the organization, the finance side isn't going to believe productivity numbers. I mean, if you're a CFO, a productivity number is, yeah, I understand that, but what about the cost? And so if, you know, there are other places or other metrics to look at. One is, what is the cost of my infrastructure, and how can telework plus this term hoteling or alternative officing or office on demand, how can I leverage that to reduce my real estate cost? How can I leverage that to reduce my CO2 footprint? Just to throw out a number, this comes from the U.S. Energy Data Book of 2007. It's about eight metric tons of carbon equivalent per desk per year is produced by a building. It's about 8,000 kilowatt hours per desk per year that's consumed by a building, energy consumption. So you take a look at cost reduction, you look at energy, you look at CO2, you look at your COOP COG and the risk reduction.
Continuing of operations.
So you add all these metrics up and you build a business case to say, I know exactly how to measure my progress or my success, because here are my metrics, and you start with those metrics and then you go and measure against them year after year.
Okay, we have just a little more than 4 minutes left here on Fed Talk, and we haven't really spent any time on the technology, the equipment that the employees need to really make telework effective. And can we talk a little bit about that, Naomi? Can you talk how does an agency provide the employee with the tools they need?
Yes, and that again is interesting. I'm actually speaking from the UK, teleworking myself right this moment. So in terms of the technology I'm using at this minute, I'm using a cell phone and a laptop. and I could be using Skype. So there, and I've got a soft phone on my computer. So there are various technologies that are easily available, and are in fact soft phones, for example, on laptops are used in the agency I was working with. The technology that is needed is, in a sense, no more than that. People have their own smartphones, and they can. There's a whole movement, which again you see sort of infiltrating into government agencies around bring your own device, and that can help people. They're using their own devices for certain.
You're talking about their personal devices.
Their personal devices, yes, and that has to be used with care because you then have potentially security and confidentiality
right.
issues. But it is a good method of sort of bridging the gap between what's available through normal procurement channels and available because the employees are going to be using those devices anyway. So allowing them in secure circumstances where the confidentiality and what have you can be maintained is a useful approach. And you find employees are accessing it more or less regardless. In terms of other technology, we've had a lot of discussions in the agency about things like printers at home, whether Wi-Fi will be provided, what about the office seating and home ergonomic furniture and stuff like that, all of which are debated in the agencies and various solutions arrived at. And it does vary from agency to agency, but generally speaking, people can manage in their own spaces or in coffee shops or whatever with not very much beyond what they already have, although I appreciate that in equipping everybody with a laptop is difficult in some organizations.
But it is a lot cheaper than the cost of the real estate, John, from what you've said.
Right, absolutely. And so Naomi's talking about end-user technology. There's an infrastructure, an office infrastructure set of technology that needs to be provided as well. Larry Melton, who's an assistant commissioner at GSA, has, over the last couple of years, has started a really interesting effort around smart building. And smart building is the idea that you have a network in place that can talk to and control lights, HVAC, digital signage, all of the different building systems that are there. And so tying what AgileQuest does, the smart occupancy concept of allowing people to choose where and when they want to work and how they go about finding that availability, and tying that together with smart building gives the infrastructure that is a very efficient way of operating a building just in time and in the most greenest, the most efficient way possible. So when a person goes to a bay, the lights go on or off. If you have a reservation and then you check in, then the HVAC will turn up. The lights will be available. And so if you have a reservation for a conference room and you don't show up, the sensor in the ceiling that's a light sensor is all connected over the network, and it says this reservation is freed up to allow somebody else to use it. So there's a whole set of infrastructure that needs to be thought
of
as
well. And, of course, a part of that would be when the employee is at home or wherever they're teleworking from, they have their computer, they have access to that
infrastructure.
System through remote access, and that provides the technology. We are just about out of time here. Rose, do you have any, I haven't heard from you for a few minutes, any closing thoughts on World of Work and what they're doing on telework? You have about 10 seconds.
Oh, I just think that we do have a lot of resources online. We have a work-life forum coming up at the end of February in Baltimore, and we'll have a webinar later this year on how to implement telework programs.
Okay, many, many thanks to John Vivadelli and Rose Stanley for being on our show, and to Naomi Stanford for telecommuting from England. Thank you very much, and it's good to have you on Fed Talk. And we will reminder that Fed Talk is brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth, and we'll be back. Thank you.